Okay, are we on? All right. Somebody remind me to give that back when the service is over. I've been known to run off with them. And I tell you, this is a great conference this week. And to these veteran missionaries, I salute you. We got some top-notch missionaries you won't find any better anywhere. And appreciate you and these young folks that are going. You're not left out. You're just one of us. And we love you. Just relax and say what God puts on your heart. And East River Baptist Church, man, I was called to Papua New Guinea in 1982. And I've been talking to several people last week about the call of God. And let me tell you how God works. I was in Bible school. My last year of Bible school, I went to a little local church Bible Institute nobody ever heard of. And God started dealing with me for missions. And I had a friend who was a New Tribes missionary in Brazil. And so God burdened me, and I said, okay, God, I'll go to Brazil. Well, a burden is not a calling. That's just a burden. So God started dealing with me about New Guinea. I read the little New Tribes Brown Gold magazine, and there was an article in there called A Ridge Too Far. And basically what it was is there's a ridge too far that cannot be evangelized comfortably. That is, you can't send them a track. You can't mail them, a cassette tape, but back in those days, that's what it was. You just can't do that. Send them a Bible, they can't read it. The only way to reach them is to go and live among them and preach to them. And I thought, well, hey, that's great. The last phrase on that little thing that the man wrote was, pray therefore the Lord the harvest, he'll send forth laborers. Well, being my last year of Bible school, man, I was so spiritual. I prayed that morning, and I said, God, I said, Brother Dick Harrelson would be a great missionary in New Guinea. Send him. And I said, Brother Kevin Kendall would make a great missionary in New Guinea. Send him. And then I said, Brother Doug Schwatter would be a great missionary. And these are all guys I went to Bible school with. And I said, God, I'll go to Brazil because I know somebody in Brazil. It's safe down there. I'm working away one night at work, and God said, I don't want them, I want you. And I'm just telling you how it was. I thought God had made his first mistake. Seriously, I did. I said, I quoted Bible to him. I said, God, you know the Bible says, and man don't take care of his family. He's worse than an infidel, and my wife has a back problem. My son has an eye problem. And I said, I cannot meet the needs for them in New Guinea. Spirit of God said, I can. Amen. And I don't want them, I want you. Listen, we can pretend. They were going to ordain me to be a missionary to Brazil. You can do the right thing in the wrong place. Amen. I'm serious, brother, you can. And I got a call, Jim, brother, y'all probably don't know evangelist Jim White, he's dead now, but he was going to preach my ordination. And my pastor called and said, Jim's stuck in London, he missed his flight, and he's not going to be able to make it. So Brother Greg Estep is going to preach your ordination. I said, okay. And I started to hang up that phone. Those were landlines in those days. And God said, you know, you can do anything you want. You can be the pastor of a little church down the road here, the white picket fence and a van with the church name on the side. You can go to Brazil, but if you're going with me, I'm going to New Guinea. Amen. So in that few seconds of hanging up that phone, I had to make a decision. Man, you talk about humility. Because I had to go talk to them people and say, I'm not going to Brazil, I'm going to New Guinea. And I really, honestly, I was humiliated because I had already opened my mouth about something else. And so it's a hard thing. You know, pride is a terrible thing. And so by that time, God had me where, you know, so I just had to say, okay, this is what it is. And I got to go to New Guinea. I don't care if you ordain me. I don't care. I'm going. That's it. I'm going. So I went to work and I told my workmates that I was going to give up my 15-year seniority. I could have retired at 20 at General Motors. And they said, you're crazy. They said, you'll starve to death. And I said, if God's not God, you're right. Amen. Do I look like I've starved to death? My father-in-law said, who's going to support you? And I said, well, churches around the country. He said, what churches? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't been to them yet. And he said, you ever been to New Guinea? I said, no. He was lost. He said, let me get this straight. You're going to a place you've never been, and people that you don't know are going to support you. You're crazy. Well, I had been to Brother Doug Fisher's church in San Diego. And they had a little thing, man. They were giving me all this bills, money. And I had it rounded and put in my front pocket. And he was talking about needing some money for something. I pulled out that wad. Man, it was big enough to choke a horse. He said, where'd you get that? I said, one of them churches that don't know me. I'm going to brag on God. All the years, 42, whatever it's been, God has blessed. And listen to me. East River Baptist Church has been a part of every step of the way. I don't have time to get into all that, but I'm telling you, God blessed. In my ignorance, I'd never been to New Guinea. And the missionary that Brother Jerry Thomas, he sponsored me in the country. And so we packed up and ready to go, got on the plane, flew over there. We flew in, he flew out. There was nobody there. So sometimes you have these, what can I call them, flashbacks about you'll starve to death, you know. And we got off that plane in Port Moresby, and it's 104 degrees on that tarmac. In those days, they didn't have the aisleway that come out, you know, like they do today. You had to walk down the steps and across that. And I got off that plane. We'd left Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was snowing. And we got off that plane, man, that heat hit me and that smell. And my first thought was, my soul, what have you done? These people were speaking in a language I didn't know. And I thought, man, what have you done? I thought that I lost my life. I'm being honest with you. I thought I made a mistake and I lost my life. I didn't lose it. I found it. Amen. I found it. Yes, today, my heart is still there. I better go on. I'm getting weepy up here. That's what old men do, old folks, you know. We get emotional. But I'm telling you, God can take care of you. God can provide for your needs. Listen, somebody in here fixed my car. I'm telling you, man, I was about to shout, God, thank you so much for that. And he was bringing it back to me, and Brother Brian called me and said, "By the way, your tires are wore out, and we're going to put a set of tires on your car." Now, I've been meetings, lots of meetings, where they've done that for missionaries, and I've always given to that, but I never thought about it coming back to me. I'm telling you, God will provide. That's not the message today, though. If you will... Amen. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 9, I got a hot message, and it's a hot message because I stole it from somebody. Amen. If I stole it from you, thank you very much. My brother over here, if I stole this from you, he'll share his love offering with you. Amen. Is that generous or what? Chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and when he shall come in his own glory and the Father and of his holy saints, angels. But I tell you the truth, there is standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Giving your life to the Lord. There are three groups that I'm talking about today. That's a cute little outline, just three points of in the church, in this congregation right now today, there are three different groups. There are the curious. And the curious came today. They've been invited by somebody, or maybe you've been here a long time, but you're just curious. You're close, but you're not in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of you are right there. Some of you have problems, and you've been coming to the church and hoping you can get some help. And I'm here today to tell you, you can get some help. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's financial or physical. You got a spiritual problem. The Bible has the answer for you. And this church can help you. This church is a spiritual hospital where they help people with spiritual problems. And when the curious just kind of come, and it's kind of like the little boys in New Guinea. They, Mama says, go down to the river and wash. And the little ones don't wear any clothes, and so they're all covered with mud, and they've been playing and fighting and throwing at each other. Y'all know how kids do. My house sat on a little hill, and down at the bottom was the Kikori River. And Mama said, go down there and wash. And here's what those kids do. They'll go down there, they're playing, and they'll kick water on each other and laugh and just being children. But they get those feet clean, and then they're cold, and they do this. We get cold, we do this. They get cold, they do that. They hold their cheeks. And they'll run back up the hill. Mama, I'm done. I washed. All they got in was their toe. Some of you are curious, and that's as far as you've gotten, just in the door. I'm not talking down to you. I'm telling you, that's where you are. And we love it that you come. And we love it that you think enough of this church or the members of this church to come and bless us with your fellowship. And you have that problem, and you're waiting on that aha moment in your life where everything's going to be okay, and the church will take care of you, and Jesus will take care of your needs. But that's as far as you get. You have these, now listen to me now, you have these thoughts of what you need. You hear the preaching, and the Spirit of God burdens your heart. He convicts you. That's when you get uncomfortable. That's when I used to hold the pew, look at my watch, and I said, hurry up, preacher, I've got to get out of here. You're there. But you're afraid to take that step. You're curious what God can do. Preacher quotes scripture to you and tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. That's what this whole meeting is about, is taking that scripture or that biblical truth, the gospel, to the world. That's the reason for the existence of the church, is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Everything that you do here in this church is geared towards getting the gospel out locally, out in the country, and around the world. That's what we do. Is that right? Is it not? All right. And then the pastor will try to teach us, and we learn scripture, and that, again, the Holy Ghost of God starts gnawed at her heart and said, you know, he preached about this, and man, I got that in my life. I need to get that out. So the question is, why does he do that? Why does he stand up here on Sundays and tell us we ought to have a good testimony, we ought to live a godly life, we ought to walk in the Spirit? Why does he do that? Because he wants your light to shine. And when you get your life in tune with the Spirit of God and in tune with the Bible, you have no idea the happiness and the joy that you will have in your heart. When I talked to Brother Brian yesterday and he's talking about them tires, man, I about shouted. I was standing outside the hotel in front of it. I was so excited. And I'm thinking, God, who am I that you would do that for me? It's a humbling experience. But I'm telling you, man, it is the most joyous thing you have ever seen. If you would just get in, just more than your toe. Okay, the next group is the convinced. You're convinced that Jesus died for your sins. You believe it, and by faith you've accepted him as your Savior. You hear the pastor preach, you get your life straightened out, and God starts working with you. And it's full stop right there. You don't go any farther. You come to church. Listen, I'm not trying to beat you this morning. I'm trying to get you to see there's more to it than that. You put your money in the offering. Wonderful. You know, God doesn't need your money. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What in the world does he need my $2 for? Giving is a form of worship. Singing is a form of worship. Praying is a form of worship. Preaching is a form of worship. Witnessing for Jesus, that's a form of worshiping our God. You're in, you give the money, you hear the preaching, you get convicted, and there you sit. Y'all with me? I'm not saying you're bad people. I'm saying you came in, you heard, you got saved, you're faithful, you pray, but that's as far as you go. Somebody has a need, you say, hey, praise God, I'll pray for him. fellow fixed my car yesterday. I tried to pay him. He said, if you'll just pray for my cousin who has leukemia, that'll be pay enough. I pray for him. Praying's a good thing. Praying's not the only thing. You get in, you hear the preaching, and you want to do something else, but you're so tied up with the things of the ground, things of the earth. You know how busy your life is? And you want to get involved, but you don't. You say, that's a good thing, man. I heard the preacher talking about that. There's a need over here. You want to get involved, but that's as far as you go. You're convinced that Jesus is the Christ. You need to increase your faith. In John chapter 2, when the first miracle was done, the water to wine, said in the beginning, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. All right, this strengthened their belief. They were saved, they follow him. But we need to strengthen our faith. They had the miracles. The Bible says Jews require a sign. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. Now you'd think if he performed miracles and they followed him around, they would be convinced already. But if you read Mark chapter 16, Jesus is about to give them the commission, and it says he upbraided them. He chewed them out because of their unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. You got to go farther than that. You're convinced that Jesus is the Christ. You're convinced that this church is preaching the gospel. You're convinced. You believe the word of God is this Bible. And you believe it's true. And that's good. But there's more to it than that. The last group is the committed. Those are the folks that get involved. I had a bottle of water here somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. They're convinced, or they're committed, rather. And those are the folks that are doing something for God. They're not looking at everybody else doing it. They're involved in it. I wonder, how committed are you? I've got people in New Guinea that he got saved 40 years ago. One young man, Jacob, he came to, when I first went to the village, and they had on occasion seen a priest come through, but here's what they would do. I better do it to you, brother. You'll understand. Just let me have your hand. And they would do this, trying to see if that white would come off. What's the matter with me? I'm not the same color as them. And they showed me a little piece of rubbish ground in a swamp and said, missionary, if you'll come out here with us, we'll give you that piece of ground. Now, in island culture, nothing is ever free. I mean, there's more ropes on it than, you know, we'll give you, brother's laughing, he knows what I'm talking about. So we'll give you this piece of ground. And so the little boy with the tank of leaves over his backside, he helped me measure it. Another fella, I'm trying to think of his name, Don't get old, your memory goes too quick. Nevertheless, he was there. He had a bow and arrow in one hand. He had an axe in the other. He had the it's called a lap over and leaves. And I said, okay, I'll come. And he came up to me, would you stand up, young man? And he got real close and he says, thank you. I looked at my wife. I said, get Jeremy close. We might have to get out of here quick. And I asked the national fellow who took me out there. I said, what did he say? He said, brother, he likes you. He's glad you're coming. I said, man, I'd hate to see it if he didn't like me. But God just orders things in line. I started this illustration. In that village, there was a, what Americans would call a witch doctor, medicine man, that type of thing. And everybody feared him. And he had a son named Lucas. One Wednesday night, it was, we were going to have service, and I walked through the village, and they're sitting there. They said, us guys, why don't you come to church? Well, they were curious. They said, okay, and they came. And I preached a little message about John 3:16, why Jesus came, gave him the gospel, and those two men got saved. Both of them are still preaching today. Amen. Still preaching today. Listen to me now. Lucas lives in Kundu. That's on the other side of the mountain. Y'all ever heard his name? Y'all ever know that the Catholics got mad at him and killed his pigs and ruined his garden? You never heard that. But he's there today. It's night over there now. He's holding his evening service now. And he's been there 40 years. Amen. Brother Jacob, somebody sent a little email message, and it had a picture of him. There's a swimming pool behind him, and man, we thought, hey, he's doing well if he's got a swimming pool now. He was in the capital, Port Moresby, and he was using that swimming pool to baptize somebody. Man, glory to God, he didn't lose his life, he found it. I didn't lose my life, I found it. If we would ever get that message, if we would ever just get in, I appreciate the fact that you're curious. I appreciate the fact that you faithful folks are here and you're interested and you give your money and you have Baptist religion, for lack of a better term. But man, if you'd ever give in, I mean, just give in. I mean, give your heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy unto God. You say, what does that mean? Give your body a living sacrifice. That's everything. That's your whole life. You give it to God. Now listen, I'm not calling you to the mission field. I'm not telling you you got to preach. That's way over here. But I'm telling you, if you want to serve God and you want to see the blessings of God, you have to come to that point where you put it all on the altar. Each one of these missionaries has had to do that. Think with me just for a minute. What if today God called you to go to Africa? What would you have to change or organize or get rid of in your life? Think about it. You say, well, I got obligations. I've got rent. I've got mortgage, car payment. I've got children, and I've got grandchildren, or I've got my, sorry to say, lapoon. These guys have been talking pidgin. I can't think in English. My old grandmother or whoever, maybe your mother, and we have to look after her. I can't go. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Yes, you can. We get so tied up in the details. But I'm telling you, God can work out those details. Our life is like a bowl of twine that a kitten's messed up, and it's just all jumbled. And you say, well, I don't know how to get out of all this stuff. Why don't you just give your life to God and let God worry about it? So I don't know what to give to Faith Promise this year. I just don't know. I've prayed and asked God, and God hadn't spoke to me. I don't know. You put your life on the altar. Say, God, what should I do? Let God answer those questions for you. If you'll just get committed to the work of God. The committed are those that come early and clean the church, or the committed take care of the sound system here. The committed are going to vacuum this carpet. The committed are the ones that go knock on doors. The committed are the ones that try to encourage the pastor. If you've never preached or been a pastor, I mean, man, today it's good. I mean, God's here. You can just feel the good spirit in this place. But it's not always like that. And sometimes you preach, it's like you got a box over your head. You're just preaching to the ceiling. You say, well, I got problems. I don't know how many people are in this church, but he's got all your problems. I'm serious. Because he's responsible for your spiritual growth to God. Say, what's my ministry? Just go up to your pastor, pat him on the back, and say, man, you're doing a good job. Tell his wife, we appreciate you playing the piano and we do these. Listen, it doesn't cost much to be an encouragement. And we need that. We're a family. I was around these missionaries about 10 minutes and I felt the bond with them. We're like, for lack of a better term, a band of brothers. Because we know what we've been through, and we know, I love the presentation, brother, in Mexico. It's wonderful. But that's just the whipped cream on top. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get that ground, to get that building, to motivate those people, to get it up, to get permits, and all this stuff, and all the government's got their hand out and said, yeah, it probably could be done today. There's a lot of work. Language barrier. Trying to be a mother and homeschool your children and cook from scratch try to learn the language. Your husband knows it and your kids know it because they're out all the time. But you're not. You're at home being a mother and a wife. So it's harder for you. The language comes slower for you. In the beginning, I had an old woman come to the gate, and she brought me some sweet potatoes. Because we had a stove, kerosene stove, and their fire in the house is where they cook. So smoke comes out through the roof. There wasn't any smoke at my house. She thought, my wife was a terrible wife and didn't feed me. Plus, we only had one child. So she said, I brought you some sweet potatoes, some cow-cow. And she started to hand me a big cow-cow that they cook on the fire. They get a little leather over it. And, oh, man, they're delicious. And she started to hand it to me. And I said, thank you, I appreciate it. And I started to get it. And she brought it back. She spit on it, rubbed it on her shirt. She said, there's dirt on it here. There you go. Now, see, we think that's funny. That was her name was Tommy. That was a sacrifice for that lady. She was in our church, a member of our church. Had another lady in Kikori, another tribe we worked in. And she was from a place called Tabari. And Tabari is just in the mountains. There's no roads, there's no airstrip. If you go to Tabari, you walk. I don't know what happened to her husband, but I never did see him. I saw the kids, and I don't know her name. I know the little boy. I had it in my mind. Kapasali is his name. He's just a little tiny boy, and when they came down there, she carried him for 3 days, slept in the bush, had a baby, had Kapasali, had food, sweet potatoes to eat on the way, and at night she'd make a little fire and a place to sleep, and they'd sleep out there in the bush because they wanted to come for some medical help, and the closest it was a 3-day walk. Well, she got saved, and then our church, and that little boy, he'd walk like this. He knew how to walk forward, and he'd run, but he didn't know how to stop. And so what he would do is he'd throw his head back and sit down on his backside to stop. We were taking an offering one night for Brother Dick Harrelson up in Chimbu province. He got on the radio and said, man, we've got a terrible fire up here. And he said, it's destroying everything, houses and gardens. And he said, brother, he said, I've used all of my support. I bought blankets and I bought rice. And he said, would you pray about this need? Well, I had a little church there under my house and people that were mostly rejected by the lowlands people because these were Highlanders, and they don't like Highlanders. But I would minister to them, and I said, you're welcome to come to our church. And they would meet underneath my house. And I took an offering up there. And I said, there's a need, people you don't know. And they need help. They have no food. They have no house. And we're going to pass the plate around, and if you got anything to give, you put it in. Kapasali's mother, when she came down from the bush, the only thing that she had valuable was a little kina shell. I think Rick's got one on his table back there. But this was just a broken one. When she got married, they had to pay bride price for her, and that's the portion that she got of her bride price was that little piece of kina shell. Now, kina shell in the old days was money, so this was the most important thing other than her children in her life. She carried it around in her belum so nobody would steal it, and it was precious. That plate went around. She put that kina shell in that offering. I'm telling you, she got in. She gave it all. She had nothing else to give, but she had that little broken kina shell. And she was willing to give it up for God. Amen. Committed. How committed are you today? In this church, in your life, how committed are you? Are you willing to let God have everything? I'm not talking about your money. Are you willing to give God your life? Let Him take control. You're looking for happiness? That's it. That's that sweet communion with God, and you know this is what God wants to do, and you just say, okay, God, I'm here. This is it. You know I'm nothing. God, use me any way you can, anywhere you can. I'm yours. Just give it to God. When you get to that point in your life, you're going to see the blessings of God come. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about money blessings. I'm talking about blessings and being right with God, being led by the Spirit of God, having good fellowship with the brethren, have a better relationship with the Bible, being able to pray and finally lift up holy hands to God and say, God, I love you. I worship you. If you'll just get committed, you'll find things you wouldn't believe in the leading of the Spirit of God and a life fulfilled to the point that you've never been. Listen, it's not glory to me. Anything done in New Guinea was, it's all God. Listen to me now. We have this idea that these preachers get up here and these missionaries and they're college guys they're not like us. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're just like you. He took me out of a factory and said, I've got to work for you. Every one of these missionaries had a job before they got on the road. These are not bums. These are the best of the best in their local church. And they've committed their life. They've given it all to God to use. How committed are you? You say, I'm convinced, I'm saved. Man, you got to get more in than your toe. I mean, just get in. Just get in. Amen. If you're here and lost, I was 28 years old when I got saved. I walked into a church, I had a suit and a Bible. They thought I was an evangelist. I was lost as a goose. And a preacher came and knocked on my door. God was dealing with me. And he was dealing with my wife at the same time. And there was had been a blizzard. And man, the snow was this deep in Ohio. But he came out on his regular visitation night and knocked on our door. He thought we were saved. I said, no, preacher, we're lost. And he sat down with us and gave us a clear presentation of the gospel. March the 7th, 1978. And God convicted our hearts. And we knelt there by our couch in our living room. And we both got saved at the same time. And then we decided we are not just going to be, we're just not going to be spectators in the church. Because we'd been to church. We'd been to church a lot of times. My wife, my mother was her Sunday school teacher. But we had seen people, they'll come to church, they'll carry their Bible, and that's all. They got the cow face. Got that long face, the nose down, like they ate a sour pickle or something. Man, where's the joy? There's got to be some joy in this thing. I didn't want to be around that kind of people, and I certainly didn't want to be one. So we made a decision, if we're going to get in, we got saved. I said, if we're going to get in, we are going to get in all the way. I said, God, whatever you want us to do, that's what we'll do. And he gave us little jobs and in the church, teaching Sunday school, that kind of thing. I said, I never pastored a church in my life other than New Guinea. I'd never even been to New Guinea when I got off that airplane. But God took two nobodies and used us for, not for our glory, but for His glory. And there's people today because we surrendered to go and you surrendered to give those boys over there, and I just named a couple of them. I think there's about five of them still living, and they're all still preaching the gospel in that place because of you. You got in. Now, I don't know where you are in your life, but if you haven't been to that altar and put it all out there, man, today's the day. We're not going to shame you. We're not going to look at you and say, well, I knew they were dirty, rotten Christians. No, no, no. No, no, no. We're here to help. Amen. And God will take your life. Man, he put oil on all your wounds. Oh, my. And he'll guide you through that mess of tanglements of life. You'll come out the other end. And you'll see God working in your life. Oh, it's so sweet. And that joy comes. And it's almost like getting saved again. I'm telling you, it's good when God gets in. It's good when we get in fellowship with God. If we just will. How committed are you? You're committed as you want to be. Question is, what do you want for your life? You're here and lost. Man, there's a big aisle here. There's people here. How many could you lead somebody to Christ if you had a gospel tract? Put your hand up. If you could, come on now. Put it up. If you're lost, come to the altar and the invitation. See one of these people after the service, and they will take a Bible and show you how to receive Christ as your Savior. Don't leave here lost. That's what we're all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time. These people have been very patient with me. I ask you, God, to work in hearts and Lord, just to help us, God, to give our life a sacrifice for you. In Jesus' name, amen.